Hi, I'm Joel.
Hi, I'm Ryan, and I'm surrounded by triangles.
I'm Kyle, and I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase, and today we go back to first grade art class in this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 4, Episode number 8 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And we got a full review lined up for you here today, but before we get to that, one quick comment. If you haven't been over to the tabletopbattlefield.com or the Army Showcase website, as it should be called, in a while, actually go ahead and check it out. I actually have my friend Gabe Jackson design me a totally new layout. It looks really awesome and it looks really sweet. So if you haven't been there, head over to tabletopbattlefield.com and check out the new layout. And what we're going to be go ahead and talk about today is we're reviewing an independent game called Mech Attack. Now, if you kind of think like, oh, holy crap, how did I miss the basic development, promotion, and release of a new Battletech game? You're thinking wrong. And this actually has nothing to do with the Battletech universe or MechWarrior or WizKids or any of those guys at all. This, like I said, is an independent game by a company called Armor Grid Games and Miniatures. I actually came across it because the website tabletopgamingnews.com was advertising an introductory sale of the game for $5. So I went ahead. It's a $5 downloadable PDF.
That should have warned you immediately.
It looked cool.
how much was it then originally?
I think the non-sale price is $7.50. So okay. It's still fairly cheap. And I mean, yeah. We'll talk obviously about the details. We'll show you some of the gameplay and some of the setup here coming in just a minute. But, yeah, that's what it is. It's a very simple, it's a sci-fi miniatures game. You obviously got your giant mechs, you got tanks, infantry, and you're gonna be running around your standard style battlefield. You got trees, hills, the rules for all that kind of stuff. So I guess with that, let's go to what we call the unboxing segment. Alright guys, it's time to, I guess, unbox this game, which there really isn't a box to open, because like I mentioned, it's a downloadable PDF, which I think I got off a website called the War Game Vault. I honestly don't remember exactly what website that was. I probably should look that up before doing this, but whatever. It'll be in the show notes over at tabletopbattlefield.com/podcast. So it's basically a set of PDFs you download. It comes in one nice little zip package, so you can kind of unzip them and do what you want. You print them off, obviously, and what you've got is a rule book, which I'm holding here in my hand. It comes in around 14 pages. It looks relatively short, simple rules. We'll get more details in that later in the game. You then got, of course, the figures. This is going to be the big discussion point here. The figures are, I guess, sort of paper craft. I don't know if it's the right terminology. The best way to think of them is if you ever remember playing the WizKids constructible games like Pirates of the Spanish Main or Rocket Men, Axis of Evil, they're like that where you kind of have the pieces that stick, they fit together at like right angles and kind of build a pseudo 3D-ish, or as they call it, a 2.5D figure. Since these are downloadable PDFs, you got to print them out on paper yourself. I chose to glue them then down to Tag War before folding them up. That's not necessarily required, but it kind of gives a little bit more structure to them. Let's just see. What do you guys think of the idea of these things as figures?
I have a question. Right. How many pages did it take to print all this stuff out?
Oh, jeez.
That's what I was guessing.
Yeah, there's a lot of pages. There's probably...
A lot of ink.
Yeah, you're probably looking 30 pages, I think. Mm-hmm. Because there's three different armies you can print out, a green, gray, and tan army, and they all have like about 10 pages. Then you got the rule book, which is mostly black and white, except for the cover and a few pictures. And that I print off like two per page and a little,
And so there's only three different factions then.
Yeah,
based on colors.
They also give you an uncolored one if you want to design your own. Okay. So it's like just the blank black lines and you can put your own textures under there and have fun with them. So what do you guys think of the idea of the figures? Ryan, do you like the idea of kind of building the figures like this? Yes or no?
As far as building them?
The theory behind it. Like the idea?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good theory.
I like it too. We obviously ran some practical things. We'll talk about that in a setup session. Kyle?
You know what, I'd have to say in theory, it really should save some, money and time.
In theory. I mean, it's better than a lot of independent games where some are literally just little boxes with X's and numbers I mean, there's actually something here. So
you could tell somebody put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah.
That's
Joel,
obvious.
What do you say?
Yeah, I liked it. I think it's a great chance for people to be creative and put together games, you know.
And along that same line, the artwork I think is really nice. Someone did take a lot of time to put decent detail, decent texturing, shading to the things. Some of the textures for the ground came from my website called One Monk or something. But the artwork is pretty good. What do you guys think? I think I like it.
Yes.
Yes?
Like, yes.
Kyle?
Yes.
Like you said, some of these independent games, you know, they look like stick figures. Yeah. Somebody drew in Microsoft Paint. So
I mean, even your Command, Dominate, and Destroy.
Oh, that was terrible artwork.
No, it was better artwork than most independent
it
games.
It was better artwork. Let's say ripped up Command & Conquer in a lot of ways. We've been down that road plenty of times.
But the artwork was still better than most independent games that you had, and this is definitely, I'd say, at least manufacturer quality artwork.
It's kind of cartoony, but it still looks cool. It looks good. Any other comments about the product line, I guess, per se, before we get into the setup and discuss all the issues pertaining to actually getting the figures assembled? Oh, one more thing to talk about. The record sheets. You do get record sheets here. They're pretty standard kind of stuff, what you'd expect. The game's called Armor Grid. The company's called Armor Grid because you'll see a lot of the guys have very grids of damage boxes. That's how you record damage.
Yeah.
They're similar. They look similar to kind of like large Warjack damage grids from War Machine, but the damage works a little bit differently. Of course, we'll get the details of that more. And one thing that is nice with these, they have a gray border around them, but if you cut that gray border off, they will fit into a normal size car protector, allowing you to go ahead and use a dry erase marker to mark damage instead of having, you know, print them out and, you know, reprint them out and use like pen or pencil every time. So that is one nice little thing. I'm going to give them a bonus point for that. Any other comments, likes or hates about the product line?
I thought the design was done really well. They fit together really well.
In theory.
Oh, mine fit together, so.
Yeah, it did a pretty good job. Some of my earlier ones are pretty good, but.
Yeah.
Alright. Well, with that, let's go ahead and talk about actually setting this game up.
Assembly of the Mech Attack figures involves using large quantities of spray adhesives to attach the printed PDF pages to the tag board. Next, you get to spend some quality time with scissors and cut out all the tag board back pieces. And trust me, there are lots of them.
Scissors.
You have the worst scissors
ever. Scissors.
Okay, look at my scissors here.
Want to switch? These are kind of circulation off of my thumb.
Yeah, my thumb's starting to, like, wear away.
Yeah, you have the best one.
At least during this excitement, you can have some deep discussion and use the time to plan future topics for your podcast.
Yes, we can just make fun of other people's podcasts.
Now, how about Jerry and their new podcast? Oh, that's... No, just kidding. Yeah. My other co-host started his own podcast.
Oh, really? This is an audio one?
It's an audio one.
With everything cut out, it is time to fold and glue things together. The last step is to cut out all the little slots so that the pieces can be slid together.
Exactly. Is there a garbage can down here?
Nope. Right. Actually, there is. Sarah, do you want to just want to grab it? It's over.
Yeah, this is going to take a long time to clean.
Yeah, you can stop recording right now if you want. Well, there you go. You saw a quick video of us kind of setting up some of the pieces, kind of assembling them, and some of our crazy adventures in that process. Now, in the last segment I mentioned, in theory, they work pretty good. How do you guys think the whole build process went?
It was the most awful experience ever.
It was a headache. Definitely a headache.
I mean, it's, for me...
I had no problems with it, honestly. I mean, it was time-consuming. You gotta be ready to invest some time into getting this all put together.
Which, I mean, it's... Granted, compare that to other games, say Warhammer 40K, where I spent hours upon hours upon hours painting figures... You know, it's obviously still less time doing this, but I guess it's, I don't know, it's still very time-consuming, as you're saying. Another comment I had was overall about the construction quality of the figures. The idea of attaching the weapons is good, but the problem is the little slots that you cut to basically stick the weapons in are really small, and it's easy for those to kind of maybe get folded or bent a little bit, and the weapons just kind of fall out.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a small little complaint.
And some of these, like, slots are really hard to cut. You gotta get it, like,
perfect
or else you end up messing up.
That's what I was having trouble with, was the infantry.
Terrible. I mean, you can definitely make these things look good if you really sit down and take the time, and I guess, in all honesty, I don't know if I really have the patience to sit down and with paper figures and take the time.
I think it depends on really how good this game plays.
Yeah,
I
mean, will it be
I
worth
think,
it?
I think you... you would put your time in something as long as it plays good. So,
and even then, you know, these figures are just kind of included as part of the set. It actually says if you want to use another game figure, mm-hmm. go right ahead and do it. There isn't any reason you have to. Yeah.
My advice would be, if you're going to put this together, is sit down with a friend, put on a movie, be prepared to spend all afternoon doing it.
Yeah, makes
true.
Sense.
True, very true.
Any other comments about the setup process?
That's pretty much the one complaint. It really just takes a long time. It's very meticulous on how you cut the slots, because if you don't come perfect, then everything mm-hmm. goes away, and your hand hurts a lot after the after the experience of using scissors all day.
Yes, yes.
Especially cutting through the cardboard.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned, the tag board isn't required, but I made a few of the figures initially without the tag board, and they were kind of flimsy.
Yeah, I think the tag board's kind of
necessary. It's kind of necessary, yes.
It's kind of a necessary evil you got to deal with. Yeah. With sore thumbs. We'll give them a point off for sore thumbs. Especially when you're using scissors that are too small. Like, I like
haircutting scissors.
Well, in this case, you can't really give it a point off for that.
These scissors are used for haircuts.
No, that's not
for cutting cardboard.
That's not giving a haircut just because of the fact that you got to do so much cutting.
Yeah.
The point, not because of the fact that I was hurting myself with my own scissors. And you go, no, gee, that sounds terrible.
Actually, that did sound terrible.
Oh, okay, well, good. Yeah, basically, I had really small scissors, and you know, it just hurts your thumbs after a while. Yep. So, anyway, ready to play this game?
Yep.
Let's go ahead and let's bust out some battles and have some fun. Alright, Ryan and I are going to take on Joel and Kyle here in this first game of Mech Attack. Joel's over there getting his forces ready. I'm going to be commandeering a heavy mech. We've got a medium mech, and then two light mechs, one with all missiles, one with all machine guns, and finally I got two little infantry guys running around in front there who are going to die. Do I have a vehicle as well? Where did my vehicle go? Okay, Ryan, talk about yours.
I think this is your vehicle. I think I have a smaller vehicle.
Did you lose your tank?
Yeah, I don't know where it went. Yeah, I was carrying that.
How do you lose
the tank? I'm sorry. Okay, and then what I have is I have a heavy armored vehicle, and I also have a medium armored vehicle, along with this vehicle. Right
there's here. Your tank.
Yeah, thank you.
Joel, that armless guy. What do you got running over there?
Well, we have got two heavy mechs, two heavy tanks, two medium mechs, two light mechs, one jump infantry, and one light infantry.
Tournaments in Mech Attack begin with initiative roll to see who goes first that round. From there, players alternate activating units. When a unit is activated, it moves, and then it attacks.
Alright, here we are. We are done with the first turn. We're now basing gunline mode. Of course, Ryan and I got our forces lined up. They got their forces lined up. We're going to move up a little bit and start shooting like crazy here. So, Kyle, first action, second turn, go.
So, we're saying here under, because it's the first turn, first time playing this, we're going to be able to measure distances.
It doesn't say in the rule book, either way. There's no reference to the rule
book.
We're
finding that there's a lot of things that's not being said in the rule book.
We're sending our infantry against the heavy mech loaded with machine guns. Now, the problem is, here's another bit of messiness in the rules. It doesn't actually explain whether the machine guns really decimate infantry. I don't think they do. That's a thing. It's kind of... So here we are going into turn number 3. Our gun lines have now gotten a lot closer. A little bit of damage has been dealt out. I got a guy who took kind of a solid hit over here, almost getting in critical range. We did a little bit of light damage to his infantry, his heavy mech, and I believe that guy took a few hits too. So now this is where the damage is really going to get cranked up. Everyone's now pretty much in weapons fire and just going to be back and forth, just slugging it out until one line pretty much crumbles.
Combat is based on the D10 die. A roll was first made to see if the attack hits. Several factors such as range, terrain, and movement can affect this roll. If the attack succeeds, the second die is rolled to determine where the attack hits, and then an area of boxes is marked off corresponding to the shape of the weapon's damage profile.
So we just had the first casualty of the battle. My heavy cannon just blew up one of his little light guys, and that'll be good for us.
Oh,
so,
no,
big explosion, he died.
He doesn't make...
So you can see here how the armor grid works. It's a once it kind of loses hand away.
Well, you know, let me first figure out how much everything goes before you go off on your merry way.
There we go. So now you can see why a game is called Armor Grid. You got a grid of damage, and if stuff get hit, you kind of cross boxes off to get to the bottom, and then things blow up.
I can use my lasers
like that
too,
light
right?
mech right there.
Once enough damage has been done to a unit, it starts to suffer critical hits. Critical effects range from various system damage to weapon destruction and, of course, possible unit destruction.
So Jason needs to animate this to be on fire.
Okay. That's a fuel cell explosion there. This one would be right torso hardpoint destroyed. There goes a missile launcher. We have 7, which is right arm hardpoint destroyed. That would be one of his lasers. And 3 is heat vents damaged. He has no more heat sinks. They're all destroyed. Now, fuel cell explosion, another D10 damage. 4 damage. And column number 10, which actually he survives.
Oh my goodness.
A tough little mother.
Yes. The problem is, he's got one tough mech, but he's obviously a crazed, panicked pilot who can't shoot anymore because he's going to blow up the next time he shoots. If I pull the trigger, I'm going to die.
If he moves, he's going to die.
You guys want to go one more round, or are we? I'm done. I'm ready to call it.
Aww, so much fun.
That's all right.
We'll pull out the white flag.
Yeah. It's been an interesting battle.
So this guy will survive. There was no explosion. Which kind of stinks.
He's going to blow up.
If he moves, he blows up.
Let's take one step. Boom!
Ow. So, yeah, we kind of slaughtered you there. After you got some massive explosions on your shady work on your max.
Yep. All right, let's go do the final review, guys. Ready?
Let's do it.
So there you go. That was our little battle report. Hope you guys enjoyed that fun little, I guess, destruction fest that they dealt to us over here. Yeah, but anyway, let's do our final review. Let's move from topic to topic. And we'll kind of say, you know, what we like, what we didn't like about the game, and then give our final overall review. And, yeah, we'll just go with that. So, let's just start here. The flow of the gameplay. I certainly liked it. Once we got a few little modifiers memorized, it went really, you know, went really well, really smooth, and things just kind of kept moving along.
I'd agree with that. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'd say definitely when it comes to, like, the modifiers. There's a few of them, so it gives a little bit of diversity, a little bit of strategy and thinking, but it's not any real complex tables, no like cross-referencing, like you see in 40K. It's just about 5 or 6 things you got to know, and when you go from there, it goes pretty quickly and easy, I think.
I also thought that looking at this to where you know a whole bunch of mechs on the field, if the more mechs and the more things you have out in the field, I think the harder it is for the flow of gameplay because it's harder to keep track of everything.
That's just the nature of any game, really.
Probably use like
the one slightly downside of the flow of game was the memorizing the damage from the weapons.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of weapons, which makes it really nice, but it definitely slows down the gameplay trying to remember which of the damage. That was a negative part of the game flow, but I still liked it. So, I mean, always thinking
you can
of
put a
haterade
for me, Jason, okay?
What?
You can put a haterade for me, okay?
Okay.
Okay, there you go.
I mean, I guess, though, in my response to Ryan's comment, well, obviously the game is going to slow down as you get more stuff here, but there isn't a lot of, like, crazy character interaction. There are no special powers, no magical powers where you got to sit down and do lots of weird rules checking. So it's going to slow the game down, but it's definitely not as bad as some games, like, say, 40K or Fantasy, where you try to play an apocalypse scale, and it's like, holy crap, what just happened? Why did all my guys just die? Because some weird rule interaction. You don't find that here.
Well, my point is just the fact that all the mechs are similar on the field. If you have, like, 5 of the same type of mech out
there...
Oh,
yeah, I see what you're saying.
Then you're just like, okay, I've played 3. Which 3 did I play, you know?
Yeah.
So there has to
keeping track of it can be kind of tough, but it's not any different than any other, you know, Minter's game where you have lots of, you know, lots of units.
Yeah, if you wanted to, you could even put, like, tokens next to
the ones you fired already.
But I can see your argument that the fact that all the mechs look the same, pretty much, and granted, if you equip them the same, they will,
And it's harder to distinguish the guys in this game than, say, 40K or Fantasy or MechWarrior, where you've got a more diverse
We did have trouble.
I will say that's only one negative there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joel and I definitely did have trouble. We kept looking at the bottom of our one or two.
Yeah.
So let's go on. How about the movement rules? For me, the basic movement, I think it's kind of stupid. It's kind of, it's not very well written. It's basically move straight line, and that's all you can really do. That's the way I read it. Maybe that's not the way it's meant to be interpreted, but that's how I read it.
It was almost WizKids like, in a sense.
No, even WizKids can walk.
Very simple.
Even WizKids can walk around.
A little
around.
Overly simplistic.
Yeah. What do you guys say? Don't like?
No, I didn't like it.
No, I didn't care for that.
Ryan?
Same here.
And so that's why, you know, because that just brings a kind of a related topic. The rule book in general is kind of not. In some ways, it lacks a professional feel to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of things that, you know, not that they're, like, not done, they don't make sense, but they're not really super clear.
Yeah.
But just like here, do you have the rule book right here? Is the rule book right here? Just read, for example, here's a great, perfect line. This is to figure out the setup of who, basically, who's going to deploy guys first. All it says is roll a D10 to determine which deploys first. Like, do you go highest, lowest, the winner to choose? You know, things like that, they don't elaborate on. They kind of leave it to you to judge a little bit. Which isn't bad in a situation like that, but when we get dealing with damage and critical effects...
And maybe if you have actual tournaments set up,
yeah,
you know, I doubt something like that will happen with this game. Yeah. But still, you got to have clear rules for that purpose.
Because you'll see that, like, even like, say, Warhammer 40K, which doesn't explain some things well, every tournament ends up with its own FAQ, and that just gets messy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What about then movement tactics? I say, I mean, they're all right. There's nothing wrong with them. They're not, for me, not any better or worse than any game, so I'll give the benefit of doubt and say good.
For which? The combat rules?
Movement tactics.
Movement rules. Oh, movement tactics?
Movement tactics. Yeah.
They work.
They work. Yeah. They get the job done.
It's on the par with everything else. There's nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing unique, but it's nothing, you know, horribly bad either.
It doesn't really detract from the game. How about let's go on the combat system. There's lots of cool things going on here, I'd say.
I really like the combat system.
So let's talk, so the combat system in general is definitely really good.
Absolutely.
What about, let's go damage, the damage grid concept. What we got?
I think it's one of the best things about this.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
This is amazing, you know, combat system. No question about it.
So pretty much how the whole damage grid works is, when you get hit, you roll a die to determine which column of the grid takes damage, and every weapon has a different damage profile. Some go deep into you, like four down. Some kind of spread out across the armor. Machine guns kind of pepper the armor in multiple locations. Cannons do a little bit of combination of the both. And it's just kind of cool, because that also builds into weapon tactics and goes back to how you want to customize your guys. Because you want to fire in certain ways because of the thing called blowout damage.
Something which we didn't know about and somehow still managed to beat you guys.
Yes, when you're... Yeah. But how blowout damage basically works is, you know, if you get a deep cut into somebody and you hit that same spot with a missile and it kind of expands out, it's going to blow out a huge chunk of more damage than it ever would in a normal attack. And that's really cool. That does make you think, you know, how...
It allows for smaller, you know, units, which you wouldn't normally think they could do much, like light mechs or, you know, tanks, which only have one weapon on it, be able to modify it properly. You can do so much more damage than you ever thought possible.
I think
with
that
those
gives units a better value for the smaller units, too, especially to help them really do something and make them valuable on the field.
Exactly. You can't take the smaller ones for granted.
Mm-hmm. Like, one of the things that has always annoyed me about, like, 40K is that... the tanks are basically invincible against small arms fire or bolt guns. So, you know, this way, even if you only have one little machine gun left, you can still pick away at the armor.
Mm-hmm. Probably won't do much, but, you know, machine gun plus missile could be messy, you know, then.
Right. Well, say you pick away that one with the machine gun, next turn you hit it with a missile, that one could be the difference, between...
Or even later on, like when a guy's taking a lot of damage, start spreading machine guns into him, you're going to have better chance to find those critical locations and just messing people up. How about the heat system? Because, you know, this is kind of supposed to be Battletech light. So the mechs can overheat just like in Battletech. What do you guys think about that? I like the heat system.
I really enjoyed it.
I liked it.
It's really a very streamlined version of what you get in classic Battletech.
Very basic, but it gives you so many options.
Mm-hmm. It's really, the way you think about it, most weapons generate one or two heat. I think the mechs all can dissipate four. When you go over that, bad stuff starts happening. But it's not like BattleTech where you're adding.
Things start blowing up.
Where you're like, I have 62 heat minus 47 heat sinks, and you know it's
yeah.
it's a little bit more simpler. Which,
yes, much yes. more simpler. So for better game flow. Mm-hmm.
It's like those it all ties back into the game flow, definitely. What about? Then we talked. How about? Well, we talked about weapon combos. I think one of the cool tactics the weapon combos come into then, it's in this game, is firing order really does matter.
Right.
Because, I mean, in one way, this has a traditional style where, okay, this guy's got taken a lot of damage, he's probably not going to survive much longer, I'm going to fire with him first. But also, you know, the whole fact we talked about, machine guns first, then missiles, or lasers, then missiles, and, things like that.
And it can also go into maybe a later topic, which we can discuss, you know, movement.
Not right now.
The movement tactics.
We're talking about tactics already.
No. I mean, more in formation tactics, like group for.
Oh,
group tactics.
Work together. Yeah,
group
yeah.
tactics. I'm sorry, yeah. not movement, more group movement yes. than actual movement. Where you can have groups of guys, which each one you have a certain, you know, duty for the.
One for Kyle. Kyle's definitely like that.
Yeah. Definitely, each one has a purpose.
Yes.
So this guy's going to plink away at the armor. The other guy's going to blow a huge hole in the armor.
And I think the final guy's going to... well during the game. I think that's why you guys were able to decimate us the way you did, is because you did have your mechs working together.
Yeah, exactly. We had the one side.
Yeah.
And you guys had the whole drunken guys having a party on the right,
just
on your right flank.
We ain't dying for this cause. We're out of here.
Fans and Raiders for you.
Yeah, pretty much. I should have printed. Oh, that's a tan army. I should have printed the tan army off. Then it could have been the Vance Invaders. Oh well.
I like too how the mechs. Hey, how it went unit by unit instead of like one whole side unloads on the other side,
okay, yeah.
and then the other side unloads.
So
then
you go, I go, one unit.
Yeah.
That
as
definitely.
Compared to just you know the other guy goes first, and I've lost a quarter of my army yeah. right off the bat.
It's like ah crap.
Yeah.
I definitely like that too. You like that, Kyle?
I definitely liked it because it prevents some from turtling. It really,
yeah.
It really does, and it creates more. Okay, who do I want to get shot?
Yeah.
Who am I willing to lose? Mm-hmm. So you have to put up that guy, see who they put up, and see
right.
if you can destroy that.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives some tactics to it.
Definitely, definitely. What about the special equipment? This is something you guys use a lot more than we did, in terms of like the anti-missile systems, the kind of counter-targeting things. What do you recall? The missile guidance system.
Improved targeting, AC, electro countermeasures.
Thumbs up for me, I like it.
That was very cool.
It was very nice. I think we used a little too many, though, because...
It's always nice to have that little bonus waiting.
It
there,
is
so
it is very nice,
you never
but,
know
man,
gonna...
you know, it made up for, you know, not having to do some heat.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it prevented us from doing more possible damage by using that... system, but that gives it more tactics. Mm. I mean, that was just our fault. We didn't, you know, we didn't design it as well as we could have, but the game allows for it.
Mm.
You make up for it in other ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You definitely did.
Shotgun blasts. Mm. Cannon
yeah,
shots.
Yeah, cannon shots.
Oh, jeez.
Real Indian. What about critical hits? Awesome and a lot of fun for me.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I like
yes.
it. Definitely.
Everyone.
Even if yourself is about to blow up,
yeah.
you're just like, ooh, I can't wait to see what happens.
I was like, darn it, I blew up again.
Warning, you're going to die. Warning, you're going to die. Warning, you're going to die.
Especially like the secondary explosion.
Yeah.
Effect,
oh, yeah.
Where
yeah. I love
one critical hit causes you to take more damage.
I love the
secondary explosions are awesome.
Yeah.
Fuel cell damage explosion.
Yep, fuel cell damage. I liked, one thing I liked is the reroll for damage is when, like, you roll something and that thing's already happened or it's not
yeah.
applicable, you can reroll again.
Yes.
Well, it keeps it from
nice.
Something cheap, like,
yeah.
for the attacker.
Yeah.
Right.
That's just a good little niche, you know,
yeah.
for someone who think they, oh, I've missed, you know, something. Nope, you gotta reroll it and try and damage again, so that was good.
So it prevents us from doing what we did, which was two guns.
Yeah.
And it pretty much is kind of hilarious how the one guy just, because it's very random. You know, when you take a critical hit, you got what, about 20% or 20% chance of your mech blowing up, 80%
right.
chance something else bad's going to happen. And it does create a certain element of randomability to it. The heavy guy, first hit came into him, he blew up. My medium guy was sitting there, he took six like heat sink hits, he lost the movement, he had two of his guns blown off, he had like four secondary explosions, he's on fire, glowing red, he's overheating no matter what he does.
He can't move, he
yeah.
can't fire.
And just hilarious, watch this poor guy sit there, just like, please don't die, please don't die. Then, of course, he tries to shoot, absolutely panics, and misses everything.
That was before.
That's before everything went total of hell, but he's a partial hell at that point.
Dante's Inferno.
Basically, yes. What about the unit diversity in terms of tanks, mechs, infantry?
As of right now, I think it's a good diversity. Mm. I think it could be maybe a couple different things more, but with the weapon system, you know, changes, I think it doesn't need to be expanded much more than it is right now.
It seems to be a good mix to me. So you like that kind of
list? Yes, I do.
I'm going to hold off on making a final judgment because I can't, you know, you really have to play a lot of games where you can really see, is this really a balanced system in terms of points? Are vehicles comparable to mechs and infantry, you know?
Right.
That's the only reservation.
And you got to keep in mind, they are using the same weapon systems that the mechs use.
Yes.
And I would think you would have more diversity if they actually had different weapon systems than the mechs.
See, I like that because I thought the trade-off, it's like...
because then you're going to take a tank. Then you're going to take certain things, I find, and allow you for the different elements. Instead of having to take only the heavy units, the tanks don't take that much damage. They blow up pretty easily.
Yeah.
So,
Plus, they can only carry one weapon.
Exactly.
Plus, the tanks also they're usually harder hit than the mechs, so they're, that way they're a little more survivable, but they have less armor, if you mentioned. So, when they do get hit, they blow up.
Exactly.
Because, you know, my honestly concern when we go back to WizKids and Mech Warriors, you know, early on in the game, the mechs were not very good, infantry was really powerful, and then they kind of balanced later on. There was a various rule change and things.
And then artillery became too powerful, and then mechs became too powerful once again. And
so, you know, that's like, we haven't played enough games to say whether there's a nice balance. That's why the only reason I'm pulling my reservation off.
I think the only thing I found was, infantry do not want to die in this game very easily.
They're kind of resilient. Hater rate is the machine guns don't seem to do a lot of damage to infantry. I would expect them just to rip them up.
Yeah. Maybe they could have like an infantry type weapon where it does
a machine gun.
Flamethrower.
Flamethrower. maybe something like that. That was the only thing I had kind of a problem with, was infantry really didn't die. I mean, I know it's a whole group of them and... You know, they spread out, but you think, you know, being able to rail machine guns or cannons or...
Something would kill
something. Something, yeah. So, maybe an offset would be, because they can only hold light weapons, I think, for infantry, right?
Yeah, infantry can only hold a light
weapon. Maybe there could be more of a specialty weapons for infantry, which possibly could do more damage, but they can also get...
Don't they have heavy infantry, light infantry?
Yeah, they have light infantry, heavy infantry, but heavy infantry and light infantry both can only carry light weapons.
Oh, okay.
Heavy infantry just have more hit points or something like that.
Yeah. So, or maybe we could, just find a way, maybe 4 to hit or something.
Something
like that. Maybe get more hit points instead.
Yeah.
Would be a way to offset, because if you can hit more often, then, you know, they're going to die, but...
Mm.
But you can still hit them. I mean, that was blowing every shot against your infantry possible.
Well, you missed a few there. But regardless, let's move on. We're running out of time.
But, I mean, it's a 60% chance of hitting them still.
Yeah.
So that's not a bad chance. I mean, I don't know.
It can still happen. One thing I want to go back and say what's cool about the fact that it is paper printout figures is I think Joel brought up. You can print out a lot of these guys, especially if you go to, say, a professional print shop who will print them out for you. You can save a lot of money that way, and you can build a massive, massive army for really, really cheap if you want to spend the time doing it. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I've never been
the game does flow really well. I mean, it'd be amazing to see what would actually happen.
Should we plan something? I mean, may give another review on a massive game scale?
Armageddon scale.
It's like if we want to sit down here and actually work together and build a massive army one day, that'd be a lot of fun. Maybe.
It'd be a project. We'll see. I mean, it'd be for a while. I mean, maybe by the end of the summer.
Maybe it'd be worth doing for like the 100th episode for this year.
Yeah, actually, I think that's a great idea.
We're just weird and crazy 100th episode. Yeah, we'll think about it.
What's cool about the game system, too, is I think even if you just decided to play a small game with like 3 or 4 units,
it's still just as enticing.
Yeah.
you want more stuff to blow up, so you have to add more units. Yeah.
Let's go final topic. What do you think the value of the game? This is say it's the regular price is $750. I still think it's a great value, and it's definitely a smart purchase.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. It's definitely worth it.
This is minimum $30 game.
A lot of fun.
And that's $30 including any figures. I mean, it'd be a lot more, freshly made figures start factoring in. And,
yeah. I do have add one other haterade. I just have a little quirk when we were playing the game. I don't know why there's no height advantage. I mean, I think since it's line of sight. I understand that.
I'm gonna say yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there is advantages and disadvantages when they're in front of each other. Mm-hmm. So why can't there be any height advantages or
line of sight? Like, I guess because it's very easy to get your line of sight kind of messed up in this game. Like, even like an infantry squad run on the ground, if you're firing, say, at a heavy mech behind an infantry squad, you're suffering penalties. Right. So it's a little wonky. I'll give him.
I hate it. I think the rules are kind of. Oh, thank you, thank you. Apparently, me being nice today, I get all this hate still. I'm not feeling the love today.
Oh well.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, any last little topics here?
I think we've really covered a lot for one day first time playing this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to some final reviews. Good thing we're kind of done. I only have 3 tokens left to stick them on the board.
Wow. Holy moly.
All right, why don't we count these things up here? Around 58 to 60?
21.
That's pretty good. Let's say
59.
50, yeah, we'll say 59. 59 to 21, that's almost a 3-to-1 advantage for hater, or so sweet to haterade.
This is one of the biggest ones.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Alright, final reviews. Let's go. Yeah, stop.
We don't have any dice here.
We don't. Okay. Well, that's alright. Let's just go right in order. Joel, why don't you go first? Final reviews.
Very cool game. A lot of fun. Definitely worth the price. I highly recommend it.
This is an amazing game. I never thought I was going to say that about paper. a paper game ever. I mean, what happened, WizKids? Why couldn't you come up with something like this? I absolutely love it. It's well worth the price. I mean, it's, double, triple worth the price, what they give to you. Yes. So it's a great deal. Downside, it does take a lot of time to put this together.
So Kyle, would it be fair to say that this game really won you over? Because going in, you were kind of...
Yeah, it really did. This game,
same here. Yeah. Same here. I'll talk in a second. Yeah, after Jason.
Go ahead. My turn?
Go right ahead.
Here's my one line. Tops, if by any chance of half year listen to this, buy this rule set and produce a new Battletech game under it. This is a fantastic game. It's a lot of fun. I'd love to see it become an official Battletech universe product. It's definitely, and maybe only a few tweaks and a few little cleanups, but it is really a lot of fun to play this game. I had a blast playing it, even watched my own guys blow up.
Yeah.
Seriously, this game rocks.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. I mean, when we first started this, and if anybody has gotten this game and is just getting hung up over building this stuff, just build the stuff and play it. Because when we first started building this stuff, I told myself I wasn't going to like this game.
Oh, absolutely.
I wasn't going to like this game at all. I was going to totally rip into it and make fun of it. But when you started playing it, it was just too much fun to.
Yeah.
I mean, totally crossed over. And this is a little bit early in the year to say this, but this is definitely a contender for Game of the Year.
I think as of right now, it's been our top one.
Yeah, it's
this is a grind. This is a grind.
What do you mean top game for being grind?
Private Press, you can learn some of this game, too. Uh-huh. Actually, no, Private Press, the other stuff is really good. Grind just happened to suck.
So you have to say awesome game.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's about
it for us.
All right.
All right. So any questions or comments, send them over to me at jason@rockosoftware.com. That's rockosoftware.com. Of course, follow me on Twitter, @TT_Battlefield, and watch me post really cryptic messages about the game we're playing. Like, if you was following me at the time we were playing this game, you got one of those. And also, one last thing, I finally got my microphone working on Left 4 Dead 2, or I think I did. So, Rocker Robotics on Steam if you want to play some online games with me. Ryan?
All right, Madman4, as always on Twitter. And I am Twittering a lot more than
you are.
Some of your messages did never make any sense to anyone but you.
Well, like the Daisy rest in peace one?
Yes.
That was actually a spider. My wife killed it. Just, the bitty spider is like, no. So I decided to name her Daisy.
Well, that one makes sense.
All right. There you go.
I was going to ask you about that one. Well, okay, fair enough. Well, I guess we'll allow
that. You know, I have no comment to that. I mean, I'm kind of speechless.
Never float your boat.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks for watching.
It's my muse.
We'll see you again in about 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.